The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, happy Wednesday. Welcome back. Is it Wild Wednesday? Is it? No, it's worse than that. It's absolutely disintegrating Wednesday. Everywhere you look, now I'm not being negative here. I'm just telling you straight. Everywhere I look, I see more evidence of absurd things gaining traction, becoming accepted, unfortunately, by a lot of people as part of the terrain in which we live. And I'm talking about the DEI whole pedophilia, tranny, all that crap is in the news. It's there. And it, by virtue of being in the news and on the screens, becomes a part of the reality of many people. They don't even think about it. It's what they see, what they think, and they identify the larger picture of the world in which they live as being populated with those satanic, depraved things that were injected into our system. And they're there. That's hard to believe, but it's true. Now, without question, one of the most important political organizations, and I'm using that term advisedly, one of the most important political organizations in our modern history, and I believe this firmly, is AliPac.us. What William Gein has put together and the sacrifices he has made and the victories that he has led are unprecedented. And I'll say it again, I'm not speaking for William, he doesn't know what I think. But I'll tell you right now, these other organizations that supposedly are fighting the border invasion are not doing a very good job. They're certainly not helping William. Remember what was the Three Musketeers line? All for one and one for all? Well, these other organizations, they're loaded with money. Are they helping William? Hell no. So I would just urge you, and I'm not speaking for William or AliPac, don't support those people. Send your money to William. You can see it being put to work. At least you can hear about it here and see, can read it on his website. So, all right, enough of that. Hello, William, and welcome back.
Thank you, Jeff. We really got our work cut out for us in 2024, especially with the amount of red Chinese that are now pouring across the border.
The biggest internal problem we face, maybe. It's big.
Yeah, they're just...
I know.
We know what China's doing. I mean, because we know they're smart enough to do it. I mean, let's imagine that we're China, and we have... we're sick of America. We're sick of America acting like we're number one. You know, Western colonialism, Taiwan, straight, all that stuff. We want to take Taiwan, but, you know, the only thing that stopped us from taking Taiwan 20, 30 years ago was the United States, United States Navy.
All true.
And the only thing that's stopped us, you know, previously from clocking the United States is the United States nuclear shield. How can we make sure the United States can't fight us over Taiwan? How can we mess up the United States without triggering their nuclear shield? Oh, what's this? March tens of thousands of PLA across the open border. tell anybody to ask. They're coming for you. A better
and
life.
William, if I may, don't forget, there are 5.5 million Communist Chinese Party members already here, living here legally. They're here. And many of them are fighting-age men and women. I don't differentiate between the two. They've got potentially a million-man army sitting here. I'm not joking. In addition to 100,000 who've come in, they got tons of people.
They've got enough people to burn us down in a night. And that one bio lab that we've discussed, you know, alone was enough to cripple the entire United States healthcare system and kill millions of people. And that's just the one lab we know about, you know. So we know China, what China's doing. We know they're doing it, and it's happening because of traitors. And, you know, that's where we're going to use a lot of. The three T's, the William Gaines, triple T's, and that's traitors, treason, and trials. We need trials for traitors committing treason. And I'm going to use that word a lot. You know, we put out a press release about using the word treason because, you know, invasion doesn't get the kick anymore. It used to be, ooh, I heard William Gein call this an invasion. That was just really strong. Doesn't that sound hyperbolic? Don't you think he's being sensational? Well, you know, everybody's using the word invasion now. But, you know, invasions quite often occur with the help of traitors committing treason.
There are always traitors involved at one point.
And we have many traitors committing treason within our own government who need to be put on trial.
They're mocking us, William. They're laughing at us. They're just doing what they damn well please. And there's what we've done here is tragically almost normalized treason. The more we use the term, the downside of that is, it's good to use it because it's correct. The downside is it becomes familiar. You become desensitized to it. It's part of the landscape. Treason. Oh, he's doing treason again. Ah, the guy's doing treason. The guy's a traitor. What? You're right, though. It's got to happen. And I got to do something here. Hold on. Let me see. 1 million. Let me just do this. If we take 1 million divided by 10 equals. Oops, that's not equals. There it is. Equals. Okay, 1 million. Let's say that the Chinese got together. They brought in 100,000 people here. They take 1 million of the 5.5 million who are already living here. Many of them are students. You know the age group. It's called fighting age, men and women. And they put together out of that 5.5 million, plus the 100,000 that have come in here, they put together a million man and woman army. You know, it's a terrorist army, basically. And if you send out squads of 10, and they're given targets, William, substation number 29 in North Carolina, whatever, all over the country, water treatment plants, water supply plants, you knock out substations. You all know, I think most of you know, that they'll cartwheel and just build like a snow avalanche. So just take one in the daisy chain. So if they target freeway overpasses, if they target water, utilities, public services, and they terrorize the community by killing children, schools, whatever, and they could do that. Yeah, they had
cell
a million
towers.
People. You know, yes, it's, oh, absolutely. They're one of the first to
the
go.
Internet
take
hubs.
Take 1 million people and divide it into groups of 10 people. 10 terror squads. 10 men, 10 women, terror squads. You'd have 100,000 Chinese terror squads of 10 commandos to be spread all over this country. 100,000 terror commando squads of 10 men and women each to go out and take out our infrastructure. Think about it. They could take this down, as William said, overnight with the proper organization.
And no it won't joke. Be happening. It won't just be the Chinese. If it goes down like that, it won't be just the Chinese. It's going to be the Islamofascists. It's going to be the Syrians. It's going to be the North Koreans. It's going to be everybody that's ever had a bone to pick with the United States over anything.
Well, let's include blacks and it's not all blacks, but white-hating blacks. There are a hell of a lot of those out there now. So include those. They'll just be turned loose on the streets to kill whitey. This thing is easily doable. It's not a joke.
Well, they're already hunting whites and Jews in the streets of Europe and America. So, you know, in how many places can whites and Jews not freely walk in the country as it is without violent reprisals. I mean, it's already there. And Fox News's Chris Pandolfo is reporting yesterday that their estimate is that 7.2 million illegals have entered the U.S. under the Biden administration, which is an amount greater than the population of 36 states.
Okay.
Now, it's only going to take a small fraction of them to start burning things one night, and so many people will be sitting there scratching their head. How could this happen? You know what happened? You know, and no prior generation of Americans would have done this, would allow this.
Not a chance.
And you're not going to be. And listen, you know, we've got the Second Amendment and the ability to protect ourselves individually. But how well can you protect yourself if you don't have protected borders? How well would you be able to protect yourself if all of a sudden the power and the sanitation and the food shipments and the health care facilities and the communications are all gone?
Gone. Yeah, exactly. I want to repeat that. Let's take 20% of the 5.5 million Chinese who are here. Let's take a little less. 1 million of the 5.5 million. Break it down into 10-man commando squads, and you got 100,000 10-man terror commando squads to turn loose all over this country. 100,000 terror squads of 10. Okay, you've got to let that sink in. We're in trouble here.
Well, and our ancestors, a lot of our ancestors, you know, up until, well, I can't say, maybe somebody with a better bond to concentration in history knows better than me. You know, I got a feeling a lot of people in this country for a long time remembered the Jamestown Massacre.
Sure, we used to.
The Jamestown Massacre when the Indians showed up one day and they were like, hey, how you doing, everybody? Yeah, you know what? I came to your house because I know you the best. In fact, you know, all across this town today, Indians are just, you know, coming right up and just going to see the houses and families with little kids and everybody that they know the best and just going in the house. Some of them are sitting down for meals, being offered a drink or some coffee or some food, and then at a, like, synchronized appointed time, grab the butcher's knife or the rolling pin and start massacring everybody in the home. That's what happens to people who become complacent. It's what's happened to people throughout history. Complete cities and civilizations, people have just been completely wrecked because of doing things far less stupid than what is happening here in the United States right now.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, you mentioned Alipax fought some important battles and we've won some important stuff, but my God, this, you know, we knew that after Trump didn't do what he said he was going to do or accomplish what he said he was going to accomplish, the payback would be bad. And that payback is now 7.2 million illegals who are heading to the ballot box. Is it going to matter, Jeff, whether it's 6 or whether it's 10 at this point?
No, not really.
No. They're heading for the
ballot
box.
We got no border. We have no border. We are actually literally using tax dollars to finance the invaders. To come in here.
Oh, yeah.
And New York
Adams.
City, New York, Adams
grand.
Today. 10 grand charged up debit cards being handed out to all the invaders. You know where you got that money. You got it from the feds, the communist feds.
Well, I'm going to trip up there and try and get me one of them. I could use the cheese, man.
Americans
this job I'm doing don't pay very well, man. I got no retirement. 10 grand.
Yeah.
I could live off of that for, like, you know, 6 months.
By the way, speaking of the Indian massacre in Jamestown, that's occurred March 22nd, 1622. What if a bunch of Chinese came up to your home, you know, 10 of them, walking around the neighborhood saying hi, handing out flyers, Chinese-American friendship flyers and all that, and then at a certain time, they just turned loose?
Oh,
think
even better.
It.
They start showing up dressed as delivery drivers and pizza delivery people.
Oh, it could be anything.
Listen, if I was China, I'd send all these PLA operatives over here. They'd have access to bioweapons, chemical weapons for water supplies, all that stuff, you know, armaments, body armor, things like that. But, you know, when it was time, when it was 0 hour, when it was time for a directive, whatever to take place, I'd say, look, man, I want you dressed like UPS. Matter of fact, go, you know what? Dress up like UPS and Amazon, and then just go get you, take your little pistola, and go get you an Amazon and UPS truck, or go ahead and get you a job. Let's go ahead and get you a job with Amazon and UPS and Domino's and everything else, and get used to your route, you know, get used to who's on the route. And then just one day, you know, you just start popping people. It's all possible. Hopefully it never happens, but it's
totally
all completely
possible
because of our government's failure to protect people here from people who would come from outside. And, I mean, we're supposed to have some of the brightest minds on the planet working for the U.S. military and the United States government who should be sitting there saying, well, gosh, you know, if we let, you know, 6,000 people who are possibly PLA into the country, let's have a brain. You know, let's have a brain. Everybody get a donut and some coffees, and let's just shoot the breeze here. You know, what could 50,000 PLAs do if they get in here? Larry, you got some ideas? What do you think they might do? Let's hope they don't poison the donut. You know, I mean,
they could listen. How many cities are in the U.S. altogether? How many? Do we know? Let's find out. How many cities?
Oh, real quick before we move on, how many people were killed in Jamestown when like 187 people were killed in the afternoon?
347.
347 people were killed.
One-third of the population. One-third of the population.
And actually, it was surprising that they didn't lose them all. And one of the things that the Indian tribe that did this to our European ancestor settlers was surprised that they said the reason they didn't kill the rest of them was because they expected that after such a devastating attack that we didn't, that the colonists didn't see coming, because the colonists literally let them into their homes and welcomed them in.
A lot of liberals in this country would do the same thing.
Well, the Indian tribe did not pursue and completely eradicate the remaining survivors.
They didn't go all the way.
Well, because they believed that after such a devastating attack, that the rest of us, the colonists, would leave, that would retreat. And in their war gaming, they thought they could hit them so hard that the rest of them were going to pack up and leave. Now, that's not what they did. They stayed and they brought in more people and they fought back and, you know, eventually won. And I'm glad that the colonists won. But you need to picture, you know, what it was like for these colonists opening the doors and seeing their Indian friend that they'd been trading with, interacting with, you know, come in and sit down. And next thing you know, a child has a knife sticking out of it.
Yep. All right. Here's a tally on cities in America. Only 10 cities in America have more than 1 million people as a population base. Only 10. 14,700 cities have populations below 5,000 people. Right? Only 5,000 have people numbering more than 5,000 as the baseline residents, up to a million. So 5,000 over... Look, the numbers just are laughable. 100,000 commando teams of 10 each, and you only have 10 cities. You don't even mess with those. Just go to the smaller ones. You could literally flood the smaller ones with 5 teams each. That's 50 killers in every little city and town in America. And that's just if
you have a million. Young men can survive with, you know,
They won't need food or water. Their houses will be full of food. Just kill off the owners.
Well, but the point I was going to make is that the elderly population, or the more aged population of the United States, you know, suddenly can't function or starts dying off if you just turn off the medicine. If you just disrupt the pharmaceutical supply, which is already, we've talked about this before, 80% of it's coming out of China anyway. But You basically, and they don't even have to get their hands dirty because so many Americans kill each other. I mean, they just have to create a situation where all of a sudden things go dark and the tit for tat starts between this person in that neighborhood and this neighborhood, and everything goes all Bosnia Herzegovina. You know, or who is it? The Tutus and the Tutsis.
Hootsies and the Tutus, or Tutsis and the Hootsies.
Tutus in a heartbeat, whatever. And then next thing you know, it's, you know, people can't get food, can't get medicine. I mean, this whole place, you know.
This could be taken down so easily, sad to say. And where's the organized military ready to respond? No.
I think they would do it that way, and I think that they would have their troops, their commandos, their agent saboteurs ready to go for any enclave group or individual that showed any life in them or resistance. I think that they would they would hammer down nails.
Well, please remember that million people, they're here now. There's 5.5 million. They're here now.
We're in a war now.
Fourth
and fifth generation warfare has been deployed against the people of the United States. And we're under a form of martial law, but people don't understand it because it's not the type they've seen in the Hollywood movies or like it was when we, you know, took over Germany and Japan. It's not like our form of martial law. It's a different type of martial law where we talk about the Constitution, we talk about elections, and we talk about the existing laws, but when it comes down to practice, none of that means anything. I mean, the First Amendment in this country has been gutted. We know for a fact that the United States government has worked with big tech companies and universities like Stanford University, which, by the way, check this out. You know, we're doing some work on the alipac.us website, and I talk about it because a lot of the people out there listening are helping us fund these repairs. And a lot of people that we asked last time to go check out the site and survey it and give us some feedback have done that, and we're trying to put their observations to good use. But crawling around on the search engines trying to look around out there, well, lo and behold, here's a copy, not a full copy, but here's like a good portion of our website on servers at Stanford University. Now, really? We never gave them permission for none of that.
Oh,
why would they have part of the alipac.us website over at Stanford University?
What are they doing with that? Do we know?
Well,
do we have a guess?
Well, we'll talk about what they might have been doing with that after the break.
Very good. All right, back in a flash, and don't discount that supposition about having a million people they could deploy here with 4.5 million in reserve right now. Right now, N-O-W. Be right back. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Talking with William Gein. All right, William, the punchline. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to put something out about it here soon. It's just been something that's been going on the back burner the first of this week that I can talk about on your show. Because, you know, we like to talk about things first on your show, give people some stuff you can't get somewhere else.
That's
pre-release
nice.
Or soon to be released.
And yes.
If you're not on my email alerts yet, please go to alipac.us at alipac.us in case I put out something more formal about this. But as part of the attempt to clean up and fix up our home base and the world's largest archive of information in existence about the illegal alien invasion and overthrow of America at alipac.us, we've been checking around on the search engines. You know, to be honest, I hadn't really looked around on Google because it's just so awful over there. Anything anybody has ever said bad about us is like top front and center on Google, and anything that we've said that people might like on Fox News or the New York Times or something like that, you know, of course you can't find it. But was really surprised to find parts of our site had been copied without our permission and were actually available on Internet searches on a very slow server at Stanford University. And so I called up over there Monday and was like, hey, what's happening, right, you know? And the university operator seemed to be confused. I told her what the name of the site was and what it looked like and everything. And so she hung up or anyway got cut off. So I called the chancellor's office, and the chancellor's office referred me to their office of general counsel. They sent me to the attorneys. So I called
Oh, really?
The attorneys.
Right away?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Uh-huh.
Nice young lady answered the phone at the attorney's office for Stanford University. It probably pays pretty well being, you know, general counsel for Stanford. And I explained to her who I was and why I was calling. I said, you know, and I said that we're particularly concerned to find parts of our website or our website being mirrored or copied over on Stanford servers, since, one, we never gave you any permission to do such a thing, and, two, you were recently implicated helping our federal government abridge the civil rights of our citizens and violate the First Amendment protections to censor and silence, you know, people. You know, get our stuff off your servers now. And she gave me her email so I could write that out, that message out, and send her the links and the screenshots. And I got to give them credit on one thing. They took it down immediately. And if people aren't familiar with what I'm talking about, this is fresh stuff that just popped out here. You can get all the information you need by searching on Stanford University censorship. And I had it on screen. What did I do with it? Hold on. What did I do? Oops. One second. My apologies.
No need maybe to I apologize.
Should.
You're
maybe
a gentleman.
I should. Here we
gentlemen,
go.
Don't apologize. You're fine.
This came out of Jim Jordan's investigation, congressional investigations that have been occurring over the last year about the federal government's weaponization against
yes.
our own citizens.
Yes.
And this is from a press release, November 6, 2023. New report details how the federal government partnered with universities to censor American speech. And the House Judiciary Committee released a document called The Weaponization of Disinformation, Pseudo-Experts and Bureaucrats, How the Federal Government Partnered with Universities to Censor American Free Speech. And just the first line here says, the report reveals how the Department of Homeland Security, Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, and the Global Engagement Center, GEC, within the State Department, coordinated with Stanford University and other entities to create the Election Integrity Partnership to censor American speech in the lead up to the 2020 elections. So,
okay.
I would assume that Stanford mirrored part of our website for their Elections Integrity Project, which was Orwellianly named in a way for them to influence. See, but by mirroring part of our site without our permission, they're able to rummage through it and run programs on it or study it or put it under a microscope or whatever without us knowing that they're looking at it, is what they were able
Got
to
it.
Do.
I guess.
But,
yes, that's it.
But that's taken down. But then there's another. Now, the only outside group we have ever given, now we give our activists permission. You want to print something on our site. You want to post something from our site, you know, just post links back to us. But, yeah, use it. Spread it. We want the information to be spread over every single page of the 1.8 million pages of information about illegal immigration. Can easily, there's a little, you know, widget in there where you can click on it and you can text message it to somebody. You can print a hard copy of it. You can email it to somebody. You can Facebook it. You can Twitter it. I mean, we've got it. It's sliced. It's diced. It's seasoned. It's prepped and ready for you to microwave and be done. You know,
it's rare form tonight.
Well, I mean, we bend over backwards to get people to click a mouse to try to help out, you know. And
yeah,
sometimes I get a little resentful about it because it seems like pulling teeth. But
we found. Right to. It's true. You're making it. You're putting it on a platter for everybody. It's right there. All they got to do is click a few things, and it's done. Go ahead.
The only organization that we've ever given permission to copy any portion of our website was the United States Library of Congress. And they asked for that permission, and part of our specific agreement with them is, and they don't get people's emails, they don't get anybody's IP addresses, or it's just the stuff that the Joe Smith public can see. Okay, the stuff that's on display anyway, it goes into the national, you know, the United States Library of Congress, and because we were once, before all the censorship really pinned us down, we were considered to be so influential that, you know, they felt that we should be in the archive or in their archives, and also it allows anybody that wants to read our stuff or whatever, they can do it without federal IPs again showing up on our website. But the specific arrangement was that it wasn't going to index on a search engine. People were not going to go searching for this information on Google, Yahoo, and stuff like that and start hitting their sites instead of us, because we want them to come to us, because we want them to be reading this information on a platform that gives them a button they can click and donate or contribute or join an email list to help us fight against these problems. Well, we found another portion of our site mirrored by the National Archives, some creepy-sounding stuff called Web Harvest. I haven't even dug into it, you know, deeply yet, but apparently the National Archives partnered with some type of nonprofit group out of, get this, San Francisco. What could go wrong with a nonprofit organization out of San Francisco copying part of Alipack's website without our permission? And so we've ordered them to take that down as well. But, you know, I got to get me one of these jobs with the National Archives, Jeff. I found two email contacts. I was like, yo, we didn't give you permission to do this. Get this mess off the internet immediately. And I got an automatic reply that said that they would get back to me within 10 business days.
Mm-hmm. Which year, though?
I don't know. But 10 business days, I mean, that's 2 weeks. That's like half
a
month. They should have just said, we'll get back to you within half a month on average. And I'm thinking, you know, only in the government.
Unless someone comes down with COVID, then it'll be another couple of weeks.
Only for the government, right? I mean, who else out there has a job? Name me a job where if somebody calls or indicates that they want to get a reaction from you, that you can tell them that you'll be right along in, say, a fortnight. Well, let's just call it see me within a fortnight. So we found two mirrored weird stuff going on there. I'm not going to yank the Library of Congress thing yet because, you know, if I were to pass away or no longer be able to do this anymore or couldn't pay to keep the lights on at Alipack at the end of this month, which is always an ever-present threat, at least, you know, future generation. As long as there's a United States, a lot of what I've written and said and spoken about will be somewhere in the, you know, bowels of the U.S. Library of Congress. So,
I got it. You're right. You're always correct on these things. Look, is the over? Here's what worries me. The level of intelligence of our young people, talking about 40s and under, and I'm not meaning just book IQ smarts like they can do simple division, multiplication, whatever, but of the world around them, of our country, what's happened to it? They are so confused now, disengaged, or utterly misdirected, that unless and until there's some way to get to the masses of people with reality and hope they'll actually want to glom onto it, this culture is in pieces, in a big box. And there's no cohesion.
Some people are getting through, you know.
There will always be some who do, yes. But that's not the point.
I've said this on some recent shows. You know, I think the last show I was talking about how I've seen the electronic warfare, weird electronic stuff go to new levels, okay? I checked in on Twitter X last night or yesterday, and this did it late in the evening. I was just taking a quick glance on there. I was surprised I even saw this because, you know, but it came from Musk himself. The big man himself had replied to something Tucker had just put out, and he said, alarming, one word. Musk likes to do sometimes one-word comments, alarming. But he had, of course, retweeted the video. Tucker Carlson is interviewing Lydia Brimelow,
the wife
of Peter Brimelow.
I saw it.
Of V-Dare.
They're the only two people running V-Dare right now. That's it. Just those two.
Well, because they've been, you know, reduced
in their
ability.
They had four, but they lost their staffers of two people. It's a mom and pop operation, and they're being horribly discriminated against.
Yeah, I didn't know. You know, V-Dare is a different type of organization than Alipack, clearly, and it's a non-profit structure and thing. And Peter predates me. You know, his book, I think it came to fame, was called Alien Nation, I think it was. And he was already on the scene talking about illegal immigration when Alipack, you know, first arrived. But I did not Wow. I did not expect to look in on old Twitter and see both Elon Musk and Tucker Carlson shining a flashlight on, a sympathetic flashlight on V-Dare and the Brimlows.
Right.
Wow. They should, you know, because, you know, V-Dare's on the same leftist hit list that Alipak's on. We're all on the hate map together. So, wow. You know, that's just incredible. Then, also, Ann Coulter. Oh, this thing with Kansas City. Ann Coulter is my, she's got to be like, you know, we've said a lot of flattering things about Ann Coulter on this show. And every now and then, Ann just, like, hits him with a bat. Have you seen the clip of Ann Coulter on Bill Maher's show with Bill Maher and Van Jones?
No.
They're talking about
commercial
the
commercial TV.
Well, it's not on like commercial TV. I think it's on like, you know, yeah, anyway. They probably wouldn't have had Ann on there, except they know that she's not happy with Trump. But they're on there talking about the Kansas City shooting. And Bill Maher's like, well, you know, and we don't know who did it. And Ann Coulter's like, well, we sort of have an idea. And he's like, no, not really, because they haven't told us who it was. And Ann Coulter's like, well, we know the shooters aren't white men, because if they were white men, we would know already, you know. And both Maher and Van Jones ridiculed her. He's like, oh, well, you know, officially we don't know, but you do because you have special powers. And, of course, his audience full of leftist chuckleheads. And funny conservative.
Yeah, you
do
that
funny.
Very well. You got
well,
down.
You know, listen, I tweeted about it. I knew 4 hours after the event when they weren't telling us anything about the suspects. I'm like, well, at least we know they're not white men. Because if they'd been white men, they would have been shouting from the rooftops. Don't give me this. They were juveniles and kids. Kyle Rittenhouse was a juvenile kid. He was 17. And they went out running, talking about him and showing his name and his picture all over the place and lying, claiming that he had shot black people and all sorts of stuff. If it had been a white person or a white male pulling the triggers and hitting, killing one person, hitting 20-something, and shooting 11 children, you would have known about it in a flash. But then it went on and on and on and on and on. Now we know that, you know, the juveniles and the two adults, the 18 and the 22-year-old that they arrested as well, are all black males. And Ann Coulter was absolutely right. But she's sitting there being ridiculed by Maher and Van Jones. Oh, but then she's not done. Ann's not done. Not only does she accurately predict the situation because of her observations of other cases where the identities of the assailants are withheld, she pointed out that in the case of the trans killer at the Christian school, they wouldn't tell us anything for almost a year. And then she goes on to say that one of the big culprits is fatherless homes, and that like an 80-something percent of mass shootings and shootings that like this type of thing occur, it happens with people who are from fatherless homes. And she is right on the money, Jeff. But, of course, Van Jones, like, he makes a joke of it. He says, oh, well, you know, that would be exciting news if it were true.
Yeah,
and
know.
It is true.
So always laugh everything off.
Right, but I'm telling you, there are people, Tim Pool, Ann Coulter, you know, a lot of these other video podcasters, Officer Tatum and others, they're out there, you know, and some of them are decoy voice. They're telling truth out there to new markets and places that a lot of YouTubers I've supported in the past have been banned for, okay? That whole thing about fatherless homes and the crime rates, I learned that from Stefan Molyneux, who's been banned from Twitter for like 5 years now, I think.
Yeah, he's gone.
I think he's on. Well, I see him on my LinkedIn account. He's over on Rumble. He's on another service. Uh-huh. I wish he was still on YouTube, but
oh, not a chance. No, too pragmatic, too logical,
too truthful.
Reality.
Yep.
Too truthful.
But there are people who are delivering these doses of the truth. And the thing is, you know, somebody said that the couch was going to win this election season. There's the people in they've got to use the illegal. They got to make the illegal alien votes for Democrats because there's no excitement for Biden in the black or legal Hispanic community. There's no, even white liberals are not excited about Joe Biden. They're just, it's all reactive to Trump. And, you know, they got to have illegal aliens voting because they can tell the illegal aliens that you got to, like, you got to go vote for these Democrats or all your cash cards and stuff are going to end and you're going to get deported. Like, oh, well, I'm motivated. I'm a motivated voter.
Can you answer me a question? Why did people pay any attention to Bill Maher?
Well, I mean, his show is like one of
the most... He's got money behind him. We get that. And,
you know, well, you know, like the Comedy Central shows, you know, Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart, who's back on
absolutely.
The air.
America-hating programs. Awful.
Well, and usually Jewish comedians picking on Christians.
It's the oldest shtick in the book.
I mean, I'm still waiting on Bill Maher to pick on a Jewish person.
It ain't going to happen. They rub our face in it all the time. Anyway.
Well, you know, Jon Stewart not only ridiculed me from his show one night, he lied and said...
Oh, what a shock.
He said, if William Gein wants to come on my show and explain himself, then he's welcome to do so. Well, that was a lie. Because my people contacted his people, and then I contacted him directly and said, hey, you know, yeah, I'll come on there. But no, they wouldn't have me on there. Just throw rocks and not let you defend yourself. Then later, after that occurred, I started getting calls from these producers, multiple producers with the John whatever show started calling me. And like acting like they were, John Stewart was interested in learning more about me and doing more in-depth stuff on immigration and whatever. And basically what they had in mind was they were going to fly me out to L.A. or someplace like that and have me come sit down in a chair in a studio with the lights and the cameras on me, and they were going to ask me lots and lots of questions and let me just talk. And I'm like, oh, hell no. No way. I tried to be polite to them about it. I said, listen, on behalf of the people that send me like $25 a year to do this type of thing, I can't do something that reckless because I know exactly what you're up to. And they're like, whoa, what? We're not up to anything. We're fair and balanced. I was like, no. I said, listen, if Jon Stewart wants to come at me, I'll come on the show, okay? If he wants to have me on the show, on the live show, where we can tit for tat and hash this out, I'm down, you know, I'm ready, because the audience, and I know that the audience will be with me more than with him, if truth be known. I said, if y'all set me down in that chair, what y'all going to do is try to keep me talking and throw me different curveballs and then film me saying a lot of stuff, and then you're going to take it out of context and patch it back together, Frankenstein style, you know, make it sound like I said something stupid or something racist or something awful that I didn't say. It would be completely reckless and irresponsible for me to sit in a chair and let y'all, you know, gather that stuff. And I shut them down, and one of them got a little huffy with me. I was like, whatever, I'm not doing it. And somebody over his head actually called me and apologized. I wasn't going to get on the show, but when they found out that I was ticked about what they were doing, somebody called and sort of tried to patch things up, like, you know, we're sorry about that, you know, so-and-so doesn't represent us or whatever. But the Jon Stewart show was all about trying to set William Gein of Alley Pack up by setting me down in a chair under the lights.
You can count
and
on it.
And turning me into some and turning me into some laughing stock through omission lies and context lies.
Well, is he still I guess you say he just came back on?
Yeah, in his first show, he was giving it to both Biden and Trump, and then he came under a lot of attack from the left.
Do, right? Sure.
Well, no, he came back on his second show attacking Tucker Carlson. He came under attack from the left for, you know, trying to, you know, dish it out to both sides. So he came back with his most recent show and started attacking Tucker Carlson. And pretty much if you start attacking Tucker Carlson, well, that's just about all I need to know about you.
Crazy. So he's
Tucker
on what
Carlson,
platform?
Did you
what
see Tucker?
Oh, go ahead.
Did you see Tucker Carlson shopping in a Russian grocery store?
Oh, sure. I saw that very same thing done probably 2 years ago in a major Moscow market. I've been on it. Oh, that's a beautifully clean city. Everything's up to speed in Moscow.
You can get a big old cart of groceries for $100.
$114, $103.40. instead of yeah. they all guessed it would be in the 400s.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. All the Americans were looking at that $300-$400 worth of stuff. So right. that's a real good question for everybody to ponder on. Why is it that the Russians and over there that they can eat at like reasonable prices, but here in the United States, people are, you know, having to choose between paying the power bill, the mortgage, the rent, and feeding the kids. Especially if you want some of that red meat. I know you don't eat meat, Jeff, but, you know.
Oh, there are a lot of people in the markets now who have gone to this new carnivore diet, and I've seen shopping carts full of bloody red meat wrapped in clear plastic, lots of it. Good luck.
Yummy.
That's all I can say. Good luck.
Yummy.
I don't tell people what to do.
You know, I wonder what ribeye sells for a pound out in Oregon. Here in North Carolina, it's selling for $16 to $18 a pound.
I wouldn't honestly know. Ribeye? If I ever go near a market with a butcher store in it again, I'll take a look.
Red gold.
That's the euphemism for it, red gold?
That's what I call it, red gold, yeah. Good luck if you can afford it.
I'll look. And I'll let you know. All right. Well, you're in a good mood tonight. You take care of yourself. Enjoy it. It won't be around forever.
Let's hang in there. Good talk to you, my friend. See you next week.
Thanks, William. You betcha.
Take care.
Good night. William Gein, AllyPack.us. All right. Hold on. We'll be right back.